Good evening and happy Sabbath to everyone joining me today on this podcast, Your Daily Manna. I'm your host, Duran Henriquez, and with a joyous and praising heart, I want to welcome you each to this episode, which is actually titled Obedience is Not Legalism. And with that, before we actually begin and have our discussion and our talk, I want to open up with a word of prayer. Our dear, gracious, most heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for being the God of creation. Thank you so much that you sent your Son to pay the ultimate price, the ultimate sacrifice, that we can have salvation, that we can be with you. We thank you that you kept each one of us up to this point now. We thank you that we are safe, and in most capacities, Father, that we're healthy. We thank you that we still have the freedom to worship you, and we pray and ask now that your Spirit will lead and guide us into all truth. We pray and ask these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So welcome back. My apologies that between the podcast being available and being put out there that you guys can join in and listen, have been kind of sparse and in between. I know the last one was for the new year, and we are in the month of February, day passed from Valentine's Day. But I praise God that we are all still here, those of us that are. I do want to send out a special prayer for friends and family that are dealing with loved ones that are sick or ill. We do want to lift them up in prayer. And we, most of all, understanding spiritually the condition of where we are as a church, but each individual person, family represented of those that are joining in as well. And pray that God can work on your heart and give you the changes necessary to be sanctified with him. But we're going to break this up most likely into two, potentially maybe three sessions. We're going to begin again. The topic or the topic of discussion is going to be obedience is not legalism, specifically in regard to the law of God, but period, obedience to God is not legalism. I was somewhat battling, I guess you could say, with myself on what the topic should be as far as the title of the description. And it really just got to the point where the main focus is about obedience, specifically obedience to God and his law, but really something that has been weighing heavily on my heart is to make sure that we're very clear in our understanding biblically that when it comes to God and what he says, that we follow it as it is meant to be followed contextually and not just simply out of a tradition or the teaching for the doctrines, obviously, of men. So I'm going to take a small quick break. I'll be right back and we're going to pick right up. All right, we're back. And thank you again for joining us. We are going to begin our topic on obedience is not legalism. And we're going to have some very, again, basic principles that we're not digging ultimately deep to get the full exhaustive teaching on this issue, but we will go deep enough and there will be plenty of scriptures provided, and we're using the Bible and the Bible only. Sola scriptura. We're going to be going through, have enough of a foundation built that when you go even deeper, you'll be able to have a place to stand. So, just a few principles, or statements, I should say. Obedience to the law is not legalism. Obedience to the law does not save you. Obedience is to listen and respond accordingly. Obedience is the fulfillment of God's requirements. We're going to start off at the very beginning of the Bible. So if everyone would join me and turn to Genesis. And we're not starting Genesis 1 right now. We will actually jump to Genesis 2. We're not actually reading as much as contextually. We're talking about the chapters. Now, there may be specific verses that are given, and we'll definitely pull out those verses and read them directly from Scripture. But overall, we're referring to the entire chapter of Genesis 2 right now, which will begin the discussion with Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. God has finished creating. He's now created the seventh day. He's resting on that day. But God planted a garden, and he placed man in that garden. But he gave one specific command, which he required of them. And that requirement gave way for their ability of having free will to be exercised. What will they choose to do? Now, we want to bring out these points. Adam and Eve were created perfect human beings, formed in the image of God, by God himself. They had no beginning as far as being a toddler, growing up into manhood or into womanhood. They were just created. They were given all the knowledge that they needed at that moment. And God breathed life into them. Spent time with them. He gave him the duty of tending to the garden. And at that point in time, they lived. God gave them that specific command. The tree that's in the garden. Now, this is where we are going to actually go to Scripture and read. So when we look in chapter 2, this itself, we're going to look in the verse. Let's see. We're going to start in verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. So, right off the beginning, God placed them in the garden, spent time with them, gave them instruction to tend to that garden, and basically just gave them that one command, and it was a command that God gave them. He says, you have all these trees in this garden that you can eat from. But I do have one that's right here, this tree specifically, and this tree alone. You are not to eat the fruit of this tree. If you disobey and eat the fruit of this tree, you shall surely die. Now, I love my brothers in Christ. I love my sisters in Christ. I love all those that truly love God. When it comes down to being able to study with, our different brothers and sisters, and when people can bring out beautiful truth that God has revealed to them, I so enjoy spending that time. My brother had brought out a very important fact that we're bringing into this. And it's that at this very moment, we're going to stop and we're going to take a look around. Adam and Eve are in the garden. They're perfect. No sin. God had created everything. He created the heavens, the lights, all the animals, the trees, the grass, the mountains. He formed it all. The waters, the creatures in them. He formed Adam and Eve themselves. They had surrounding them every single thing that was a complete reflection of the Word of God and its truth. The fact that God created it, and it is so, and it's there. He created the animals. They had evidence that the animals are there. They had the perfect environment. They had a loving relationship with God. There was no need of reconciliation. There had been no sin. They have no reason to not obey what he said. They had no reason and no need to be saved. They just had to make a choice to obey or to disobey. They had such a fellowship with God that they could speak to him face to face. So, because they lived in a perfect environment, had a relationship with him, does it qualify them to disobey God? Because they love God, they have a relationship with God, is it okay to disobey God? Being perfect, having the perfect environment, having no sin around, would it be okay for them to simply disobey him in this command? Obviously, we have our answer because we are where we are right now. They had everything. Obeying that one command was not something that was impossible for them to make that decision or that choice. It just simply had to be a choice for them to make. And God did not force them. It wasn't something completely out of reach. They've already had evidence to believe that when God says something, that's what will happen, or that's what is. So if he said, don't eat from that tree, then don't eat from that tree. If he says, if you do, you will surely die. And that kind of brings in the next point. You start going into Genesis chapter 3, which is the chapter of the fall of man. This is where Satan now, you're bringing a third party outside of the relationship with God and humankind, mankind. And that third party is Satan through the workings of the serpent. Or I should say the serpent through the workings of Satan. Satan brings a point to the table. He says, and let's actually read it. Start in chapter 3 in verse 4. Actually, we'll start in verse 3. Excuse me. But the fruit of the tree, which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Let's stop right there. So we've got this perfect environment. We have two perfect individuals, and we have God that gave them a specific command, and they have every reason to believe that what God has said is true. Satan, at this point, comes in, third party outside of the relationship that they have with the Creator, with the Father, with God. And he says something that's completely contrary to what God has said. The Bible tells us that the serpent beguiled her. The serpent did not force or compel her to take that fruit and eat it. He simply presented her with the option to disobey God, when she already had the option beforehand. He's simply presenting, in a sense, new information, but that new information contradicts what God said. I mean, basically, we can just say he lied. I mean, that's what he did. He lied. He planted a seed of doubt as to what God had said. So, the question, getting back to the topic, is obedience to the command of God, would they be labeled as legalist if they would have obeyed? My brothers and sisters, I pray and hope that you would see from Scripture that would not be the case. They would not be labeled, or they should not be labeled as a legalist. They obeyed God. Now, again, Genesis 3, you have the full three areas where we fell. That was the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh. And those three areas are the same three areas that when Christ did come and he was in the wilderness, those are the same three that he had to overcome in. But I digress on that point. Getting back to it, sin did not exist among the two, Adam and Eve. They had free will to make the right choice. Unfortunately, they made the wrong choice. And instead of being obedient to God, even in that just that one command, they chose to disobey God, which resulted in death. God still, what he said, they found out, was truth. I'm just going to take a couple of look at a few verses before we end this first session. If you turn in your Bibles to Romans 6. And we're going to read verse 16. And we'll come back. We'll go. This actually is going to tie in to what later parts. So let's actually skip that verse right at this moment. And actually, let's do this before we wrap up this session. So my apologies for that. The expulsion of Adam and Eve from Eden, along with the fact that at this point now we are going to die, or that we have death that has entered the world, it was not based on a life lived full. They didn't live out all of their years of 969 odd years, give or take, for them to, over time, continually disobey God to be expelled from Eden. It was one simple disobedience to a command of what God has said. That caused death to enter. That caused sin. If you look at the effects from that one moment of disobedience, look at when you go back and go back to Genesis. When you go back and you look at it, where it talks about the fall of man, and God, at this point, has come back and they heard God talking, looking for them. But the point we want to look at and focus on is actually Genesis 3, verse 7. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Number one, the very first thing besides guilt that they felt or that happened is they hid themselves. They saw that they were naked and they became ashamed. They also became afraid. Obviously, they were afraid, so therefore they hid themselves. And lastly, they simply did not take responsibility. They began to blame. So from that one aspect of disobedience to God, this is what sin brings. It brings that you won't take responsibility. You'll actually start to blame. Well, I only did this because of that, or because this person said this, you know, or it was available to me here, so I just did it. It was an accident. I didn't want to, really, but I just did it. I chose to. They didn't take responsibility. Adam blamed his wife. Wife, she blamed the serpent. This woman you gave me, she gave me the fruit and I ate it. Well, the serpent, he beguiled me. He tricked me. And so I ate it. Neither one of them said, you know what? I disobeyed you. And repented at that very second. They hid themselves because they were afraid. They were ashamed that they were naked. This all resulted in the fact that we can no longer be in the presence of God face to face. But we will pick up and continue on the next episode. Hopefully I'm not losing anybody. We are going to take this a little slow, but we will be graduating or gradually moving a little more rapidly. So bear with me. Obviously continue to go with the study. If God is impressing upon your mind to look into a few other things, then by all means, go ahead. But join me the next time. We will see you. And by God's grace, you have a happy, blessed Sabbath day. Until the next time, God bless.